At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show. Hello, and sorry, I was in a text war. Welcome in. Oops, to the Eric Zane Show podcast, the daily show, where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures. From right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports online at impactpowersportsmi.com. Great place to go for a Yamaha golf cart. Or how about a side-by-side, motorcycle, scooter, e-bike, go-kart? They've got fun stuff there. Okay? And they have a full-service department. They can take care of everything that you need. In that regard, if your existing gear is on the fritz, or maybe you want to add some modifications to whatever you purchase, to whatever you have purchased from Impact Power Sports. Or maybe you've had something you purchased from Impact Power Sports and it was a while ago and you need like some maintenance done on it. They take care of all that. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com. Let's get right into the saga about Jimmy Kimmel. Now, let me just say this. Let me get this off my chest right now. What you have here is as close to a constitutional violation of free speech that you can possibly get without it technically being the government coming in and strong-arming the producers of the show and taking it off the air, okay? This has not been seen, I don't think, ever in the course of America as we know it. This is as un-American as it gets, what happened to Jimmy Kimmel. This is bullshit. And it 100% has nothing to do with Charlie Kirk. It has everything to do with the fact that Kimmel made fun of Trump and Trump is hurt. That's what's going on here. This is all my opinion. But, I mean, come on, folks. If it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's a fucking duck. And anybody who is on the right saying, no, man, he was duck. He deserved it. That's bullshit. You're a dumb fuck. Don't be stupid about this. You know what you do? If your guy on the right who hates Jimmy Kimmel, if your guy on the right who hates Jimmy Kimmel and you're happy that he is off the air, you don't try to tell me because he said bad things about Trump. No, just say, yeah, it's because Trump doesn't like him and fuck you. It's our ball and our football field. And you take your W. You take a little victory lap and that's it. I don't begrudge you that because you've got personal feelings. You don't like Jimmy Kimmel. And I get it. I understand it. He's made fun of your guy. For me, I would just shrug it off, but I've got rhino skin. If I was the president, Jimmy Kimmel was busting my balls every time, I'd look at that as an indicator that I'm doing a good job. This is 1,000,000% grade A bullshit. He did nothing that could warrant this. He didn't say anything that was inflammatory at all. contrary. Thank you to Ben Glaze, part of the unpaid research team, for saying, EZ, make sure you drop this on the folks. This happened right after Charlie Kirk was murdered. This is what, Jimmy Kimmel did. This is what he posted. You don't see anything, I know, but you will in a second, I promise. Instead of the angry finger pointing, can we just for one day agree that it is horrible and monstrous to shoot another human? On behalf of my family, we send love to the Kirks and to all the children, parents, and innocents who fall victim to senseless gun violence. Okay, so he adds the whole gun violence thing. That's par for the course. You would expect that out of a person who is all for gun control. I get that. You cannot. There's nothing there. All right. He is on the straight and narrow, and I believe him. He's not just saying that to calm people down. He means that. I mean, give the guy a little bit of credit here. Then again, I don't want to give people credit just for being decent human beings. Then we start hearing yesterday, and the breaking news team of Maureen and Megan informed me that he's out. Now, I keep saying that, seeing that it's suspended indefinitely. So they're coming short of just saying he was fired, but I think he was fired. Maureen says that Colbert was also canceled because Trump had his feelings hurt. They said it was because of ratings, but he was number one of the late night talk shows. I don't like either of these shows. I think if I had to choose, I would choose Kimmel over Colbert. He's just better jokes. He sells the jokes better, but that's just me. This does walk like a duck and talk like a duck again. Colbert has, Trump has his own person that's running the FCC. And I couldn't tell you. I mean, that's, people are doing the math here. And the suspicion is that the government entity, the FCC, which regulates over-the-air broadcasts, is leaning on the network, and one by one is knocking these people out, which is just bullshit. Oh my God. Comments. Nick in the arena, who, by the way, Nick in the arena was a joke sniper on yesterday's Ben and Eric Patreon podcast. You are a sneaky level of funny. You are. And I think that I would add you to the Eric Zane Show podcast writing team. Like one day when I have millions, when I start getting that massive amount of Charlie Kirk audience members coming over here and maybe pushing me into the 50s or even 60s of a live stream, I might be able to have enough dough to hire a writing team. And I would make Tyler and Nick on the writing team, Nick the electrician. I would also give a good look to Chris in Buffalo to be on the writing team. Ben Glaze is super helpful. I would also hire radio voice Linda, and I would hire Jammy Time Megan, and maybe Brian, her hubby. Brian would be the muscle for security when we go out and do tours. Megan would handle logistics for our appearances. Linda would handle PR. Ben Glaze would be executive producer, and the writers would be feeding me jokes. But you'd get full credit It's not like I'd steal your jokes. I'd say Nick writes. I do it like I am now. Runner girl Amy is here, and she says she wants to use her expertise from working at a call center. She says, I can work at the call center taking complaints. Well, you can screen the phone calls. You already have the necessary equipment. In case you don't know, Amy is support for a call center. That's what she does for a living. Rebecca says, in the same vein, the Fox News host talking about euthanizing homeless people should also be fired. Well, I think that if that guy were given the chance, that would be Brian Kilmeade. If Brian Kilmeade was given the opportunity to rephrase it, and he said, if we involuntarily lethal injection homeless people, just kill them, which is what he said. If he changed that to homicidal maniac homeless people, then I would say that that is an excellent statement to make, and I would get behind that. Now, I don't know how you would determine that. So that seems like it would be a little clumsy. But no, I don't think we should just go randomly wasting people who are homeless. Nick says that no one on any side should be fired. And he indicates that the liberals, the libs, did start cancel culture. Now they are reaping what they sowed. What they've sown. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know who started it. You seem to know, but maybe you're right. Now, I am going to get to what Jimmy Kimmel actually said that supposedly, well, I mean, people are putting two and two together that he said a particular thing, and I think we should get to that. This is the moment that Jimmy Kimmel makes a Charlie Kirk comment that see him indefinitely taken off of the air. This was at the point in the unfolding of the Kirk story where, you know, there were people saying, well, he's on the left. And then other people were saying, well, no, he's on the right, the murderer. He's this, he's that. And I think that wasn't really known yet. In fact, I don't even know if that's officially known right now. But this is that moment right here.
We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
That comment, that 12 seconds. That is not enough to get anybody fired. And kind of like Nick said, nobody should be fired. I don't think anybody should be fired. I don't think that Maitland should be fired for her comments when what she said, which I made available. And then I noticed that, speaking to that, canceling campaign kind of picked up steam over the last 24 hours to get Maitland fired. And, you know, that's not right. That is not a good thing at all. We don't want to be firing people over shit like that. But that it's been bad. It's been really bad. I mean, you can't even, like, if you go on a podcast or you're doing a show and you say anything that could even be slightly thought to be negative about Charlie Kirk, you get shot in the face. Rebecca says this is the equivalent of getting fired for mocking someone about their pants. I agree with you. So to recap, Trump is now, this is all part of a four-year victory lap, ladies and gentlemen. He's, you know, he's been doing a lot of the things that he said he was going to do. And for some of you in the audience, you're like, fuck yes. Now, I'm not here to tell you, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to tell you you're wrong or you're right or you're this or you're that. That is not my game. I don't give a shit. But I'm just telling you, my job is to take something that happens either in my circle or in the world and tell you whether or not it is bullshit or not. And him getting fired is, you all know it, is a huge pile of bullshit. But some of you are like, yeah, it's bullshit, but I'm happy with this bullshit. And that's the way it goes. And I kind of hate that because this to me, as I indicated in the start of the show, is the closest you can get to stifling free speech without actually stifling free speech. Because I can promise you what happened is it went from Trump to somebody else, possibly the new FCC appointee by Trump. And then there were some meetings that were held with these networks and said, yeah, you either do what you need to do and do it sooner rather than later, or you're going to get it. We're going to find out something wrong and you're going to be paying out of your assholes. Maybe not be, it might not be for something that they said or did, but we're going to be watching you as a network and we're going to go up your ass and in your dick hole with a wire brush, whether you like it or not. So the clock is ticking. Colbert goes down. Kimmel goes down. I'm anxious to see what happens next. If any of you believe that Colbert and Kimmel were fired for anything other than their political comments, you're cuckoo. Bob says, fire because he was pushing an agenda, but all those cackling hens on The View should have been shit canned long ago. Well, and that's interesting. I wonder if that's going to happen. If a show like that is going to go away. I don't know. Isn't there always like a dissenting voice on The View or two? Like one of them is always like to represent, trying to represent the other side, because that might actually keep a show like that afloat. I don't know. I don't watch it. Because if they have that dissenting voice to represent, you know, that portion of the population, that's you just leave that alone. All right. Man Bun Chris is here. He says, I missed it, EZ. What did he say? Sorry if you already covered it. I jumped in a few minutes late. No, that's okay. That's okay. He didn't say anything. It's the most innocuous. It's like me making fun of Joel's pants is what Miss Twat-a-lot, Rebecca, said. And I will review because you are getting in here late and there are several people, I'm sure, who are in the same boat. So let's quickly get them caught up. I know that's not exactly something you see or hear on a podcast, but this show is recorded live. So for those listening, why not get a quick recap? No big deal. For those listening to the recorded version. Chris says he did not say enough to get the 5-alarm butt fucking that he's taking. So true. Let's start with the comments he made after the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Instead of the angry finger pointing, Jimmy Kimmel wrote, can we just for one day agree that it is horrible and monstrous to shoot another human? On behalf of my family, we send love to the Kirks. And then he says, and to all the children, parents, and innocents who fall victim to senseless gun violence. So he kind of, he does, if he ended it at sends love to the Kirks, I think those both work. I don't think there's anything bad there, but he is obviously throwing in his opinion on on guns at the end of it, but whatever. You know, I didn't think that was a bad thing at all. And this is the moment that what a lot of people are saying was the thing that is getting the Jimmy Kimmel's show suspended.
New lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it.
Okay. That is kind of, I mean, if you're a right-wing conservative, that's incredibly insulting to those folks. And it's one of those moments where it could have been too soon. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about this. I mean, I know something about this, but I just think that this is a political hit. That's what's going on here. Boy, the Kirk assassination has led to an unbelievable amount of discussion on culture in general. It's been remarkable. I got a text from a friend who I am in lockstep with when it comes to the things that had gone on here in our beautiful MAGA headquarters of Ottawa County, Michigan. And so, you know, for the longest time, we're doing whatever we could to get those wackos from Ottawa Impact out. He texts me, "Charlie Kirk sucked." And I wrote LOL, hoping that that would do it. You know, let the guy get it out of his system. "You're morphing into Joe Moss. Sad." Whenever you get somebody giving you sad, they're serious. It's so sad. Joe Moss is a right-wing leader of the county. He's the county chair. He's a cock. I wrote, "I'll get serious. I kept finding examples of him giving people a fair shake." He wrote, "MLK, a bad person. Civil Rights Act, a mistake. No abortion ever. Dude was a nut job racist. I'll give you a fair shake." I wrote, "Yeah, those sure sound and look racist based on your text." Now, even though those are out of context, it's, I'm sure, tough to explain. Provocative and hard to accept. But I really don't think he was a racist. Sounds like a racist, but I don't think he was a racist. That's just my personal opinion as far as him, and as far as him saying no abortion ever, he's basing that on the Bible. No question that that is not my thing, but who am I to judge? My man says, "I've seen the context. It's strange. That is the constant talking point. It gets worse with more context." And he writes, "You're just sad because he was one of the few people you were better looking than, and now he's gone." I wrote, "LOL, I think he was a good guy." Man Bun Chris says, "Whatever happened to that guy who was super interested in the OI stuff and went to the meetings and you'd call him to get boots on the ground? Those were interesting calls." That'd be Joe Spalding. That's a great idea to get Joe Spalding on. Joe is as left can be. Spalding.
Eric Zane, how are you?
Joe Spalding, good day to you.
Yeah, it's a pretty nice day out there.
There's been a culture war going on since the death of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah, I've heard you. Dove in that a little bit, and it's a thing that's happening for sure.
By the way, I did not explain to you or say to you that I'm podcasting, but I'm guessing you assumed.
I am. under the assumption that I'm on the air here with you.
You're a good man. Somebody just asked about you. Chris said, he said, whatever happened to the guy who was super interested in the OI stuff and went to the meetings and you'd call him to get boots on the ground? Those were interesting calls. I agree. And I said, you know, that's right. I should get him on. So,
yeah, I'm here. I'm still around. I'm still a Michigander. So,
so I posted and I was like, I'm having a hard time finding this guy to be the guy that everybody was. I mean, there was a lot of people that were cheering his death, and I know that's not you, but
no.
Where the fuck? I'm trying to find the smoking gun that shows me that this guy was a psychopath, and I've not been able to do that.
Yeah, so I do want to just, like, start off and say, like, the idea that someone can get killed for participating in political speech is absolutely fucked up. It's awful. It's terrible. And there's just zero pathway to justification. In fact, for me, like, we're in this really dangerous place as a whole country that we need to put some work into pulling back from. So a lot of the stuff that I'm doing right now is focused on that. But when it comes to Charlie Kirk, it's, you know, I feel awful about, you know, for his family and for his support network and followers there. It's terrible. You know, he was, by his own admission, controversial. So I think that if folks are saying that he didn't make provocative statements and didn't start conversations the way he said it, he would say it, I think that that's doing him and the work that he spent his time and effort and energy on a disservice. So, and I think you know this pretty well, Eric, because you're a pretty provocative type of guy out there, and you say some stuff that bends some ears and gets some arguments started once in a while, and I think that you might be kind of proud of it. You know, to the degree that he did it and what he did it, what politics he did it for, I think he was also aware that he was doing that in an atmosphere where he had political opposition that he probably sometimes tried to rile up too.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I actually applaud that type of content creation. I mean, this guy was a content creator who happened to be a Bible thumper. That's what you got there. And it was a formula for success without a doubt.
Yeah. And, you know, I happen to respect the Bible quite a bit. I was raised Catholic, and I there are people with differences of opinion from Charlie Kirk on what the Bible says. And, you know, one of those things that's super easy to see that is because when you start thinking about how, like, Christians want to be living their lives and then entering the public space, sometimes you get these weird situations like this Josh Shriver creep over the representatives that are trying to ban porn out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's something that Charlie Kirk also talked about doing. You know, I think they had personal struggles in that department. I think that Josh Shriver is probably going through some serious personal struggles in that department right now as we speak.
Okay, maybe. I mean, you know what they say. You know, the guy who does this is probably yanking his crank to amputee porn.
Yeah, there's something creepy and weird there. Maybe there's a hard drive check in order for Josh Shriver. I don't know. It's a very, very difficult context, and it's hard to navigate. And I understand when people have difficulty navigating. I don't understand why, you know, folks on any side of the political spectrum are like, oh, these people, he deserved to die. That's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah. But in general, I played a lot of his clips, and I'm going to play another clip about, I'm not going to do it right this second. So I'm going to do it after we hang up. I wish I had the ability to send it to you, but you know, there's the one I keep seeing in one of my chatters right now is saying it. EZ, he called Martin Luther King a horrible person. What more do you need? And I wonder. I mean, I haven't really unpacked that yet to figure out the context, but I remember reading. Have you ever heard about the Martin Luther King gangbang? Or gang rape? Have you ever heard that one?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. And I don't, I mean, I'm not, I've read it once, and I'm concerned about the source of it, about the legitimacy of it. And I don't know where he's getting that from, and I'm wondering if he saw the same thing I did. I don't know. I would be curious to find out why in the world he would say something about that. I guess my point is I'd need to investigate it in order to determine myself if that is a warranted thing to say in any context. Because I think that a lot of people are just seeing what he wrote or are taking talking points from somebody else and just saying, well, he said MLK is horrible. That's it. And I think that that's where people get in the weeds.
Yeah. And I think that that's true. And there's this other thing, and it's kind of a little bit tied to the auto impact situation where we have this concentrated push against this political concentrated push at the grassroots level from the right against an academic movement that was existing mostly in colleges when it came at the time they started off attacking what they called critical race theory. And that kind of moved into attacking diversity education, diversity, equity, and inclusivity programs. And so like Ottawa Impact, one of the first things that they did when they came to power was eliminate the county diversity department. And a lot of that is just like, what type of, like, they're just reaching for actions that they can take to kind of go along with that whatever movement that was built up.
Right.
And so in this movement politics, when you combine that with that provocateur disposition framework that you're talking about, you know, he's a podcaster, he's a content creator, and he has this track of being a provocateur from what he considers a biblical or Catholic perspective. That's a situation where you can have kind of unintended consequences at the local level, because it's not like Joe Moss is going and writing and getting answers back from these folks that he's looking up to, the podcasters or Donald Trump or J.D. Vance or whoever. They're not like in direct coordination on their policy. So you end up with the folks that are following them and taking them pretty seriously to the full effect of their words. And so there's the disconnect there that we have to kind of navigate with a lot of conversation. And I guess, can I give a plug on some important stuff that I think some folks should focus on?
Real quick? That I was going to ask next, but yeah, absolutely. Please.
Awesome. So we really do have to come together and think about how we can get our, in the political world, talking more about issues versus talking about individuals. And I think that there's a lot of stuff going on that level. I don't know how much of it is going to be coming from the two major parties. But there are a lot of petitions out there in the field right now that are being carried by grassroots organizations. They're doing a lot of different things. Some of them are left-wing. Some of them are neutral. Most of them are pretty neutral. Some of them are more conservative-based, and they're being circulated by the Republicans. I just want to encourage listeners to take a look into those petitions and see what they're offering and see what type of direct democracy that Michiganders can do on our own.
Yeah, I love that.
Have some of these conversations. So
yeah, I love that. You know, I mean, you just encouraging them to. I mean, those are things that are actually potentially on ballots. So do your civic duty and look into them.
Yep. And that's there are aspects of the politics side of stuff that people can participate in, and they don't have to dive directly into all of the partisan hatred. We can actually find paths forward, and I think that's the.
Yeah.
Big way out of this mess is like actual action on issues that aren't completely dividing us.
Now, a lot of the when we talked in the past, it was right at leading up to the big election to make it so that Ottawa Impact was no longer a majority. Are you still as active in the county politics where you are these days? Because it's not as the meetings aren't as populated now. There isn't as much provocative material that's happening.
Yeah. And so I'm still around. I'm still keeping an eye on the politics. If it devolves back into what it had been, I'll probably make a lot of appearances again. But it's you know, those are the types of situations that, yeah, we kind of wanted to make Ottawa County politics a little bit more boring again, and we did it. And so when you get the thing done in the work that I do, you find the next thing to do.
Yeah.
But you never forget. And so there are places, you know, I've worked all over the state, still keeping an eye on them, still want to make sure they keep going great. I love all of Michigan, but, you know, Ottawa County is my home, so.
Do I detect a Canadian accent with you? I keep hearing you say the word out as out.
Oot.
Oot. Yeah. Oot. Oat.
Yes. So I am half Mexican, half English and French Canadian fur trapper. So there's an aspect of my family.
Yeah, I can hear it. I can't hear Mexico, but I can hear Canada.
Yeah, it's there. I mean, maybe it's just because we made too much maple syrup and it shows up.
Right, right. All right. Well, I tell you what, it's always good to get you on. You have a great insight, and you do a hell of a job, as always, talking about these things. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, it's a lovely call to get, Eric Zane. Sorry I wasn't funnier today. I'm sure it'll happen.
No.
I'll be funnier next time.
No. I mean, it's kind of like we're in this weird flux right now for content, so that's totally cool.
Yep. Take care.
Yeah, buddy. Peace. Make him say sorry. I saw that late, says Red Bull Brain Chris. Yoda World says, Chris said, he said sorry. Sorry. Yoda World says he's poutine on an accent. I don't know what that means. All right. Bob talking about the MLK thing. I've heard that MLK was the perfect saint and did some bad things in his life. All right. I've had it. What are the bad things MLK did?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
I will read this to you. This is the AI overview. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a complex figure with personal flaws that have been documented through historical accounts, including declassified FBI files and the work of biographers. It is important to note that these personal issues do not diminish his monumental achievements as a civil rights leader, though they have been the subject of discussion and debate. Known criticisms and documented personal failings. 1. Extramarital affairs. Various sources have reported that King engaged in extramarital affairs. His closest associates and his wife, Coretta Scott King, were reportedly aware of the infidelity. FBI documents also detail numerous affairs and a recording in which King allegedly offered his wife advice on how to handle his infidelity. Plagiarism. An investigation by Boston University's Review Committee in 1991 found that King plagiarized portions of his 1955 doctoral dissertation. However, the committee did not rescind his doctorate because they believed his work still contributed to his field of study. Plagiarism was also found in some of his other theological writings. All right, who cares about that? Witnessing and allegedly, this is what I had mentioned to Joe. Witnessing and allegedly encouraging a rape. I spelled it because Christian told me that you get in trouble when you say it. And I go, is that true? I don't know. Historian David J. Garrow, who won a Pulitzer Prize for his biography of King, wrote an article in 2019 detailing information from newly available FBI files. These files suggest King was present and encouraged an rape committed by a friend. Garrow's claims have not been fully confirmed, and the FBI's history of targeting King raises questions about the reliability of the Bureau's files. That's the first thing I thought. You know, the FBI probably had it out for Martin Luther King Jr. Controversial views on homosexuality. In a 1958 letter, Martin Luther King Jr. described homosexuality as a mental disease that was treatable through prayer. While this view was widespread at the time, it stands in stark contrast to the modern understanding of homosexuality and the work of his mentor, openly gay civil rights activist Bayard Rustin. Personal disposition. Some accounts portray King as emotionally unavailable and at times callous in his private interactions. One biographer wrote that when his wife complained that he was never home, he advised her to, quote, go out and have some sexual affairs of her own. How the hell would they know that? I mean, how did that information come to light? Was there someone witness to that? Did Coretta Scott King say, you won't believe what that motherfucker told me? All right. Now, I don't know if I believe any of that. In fact, more than 50% of me thinks that that is all bullshit. However, one could make the argument by reading that someone could say, MLK is not a good guy, which is what that Kirk said. So it's either you believe it or you don't. And I don't know if you can look someone in the face and say, well, you're stupid for believing that. It's kind of tough. So perhaps could it be that people could choose to not take those moments in time there with a grain of salt and go ahead and formulate an opinion? I don't know. All I'm saying is perhaps his opinion was based on that. Bread Bull Brain Chris says, J. Edgar Hoover's FBI, though. One plausible theory is Hoover having King murdered. Oh, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you got to, I don't believe that, but that's out there. An audience member by the name of Ryan. Ryan reached out to me and he said, I don't like this clip. Or he said, here's one of several clips that irritate me in regards to Kirk. I don't think he's a fan of Kirk. And so I have had people challenging me, and that, you know, the best part about the people that have been challenging me is they've been so cool. And what they're doing there is because I said, I've been having a hard time not liking clips of Charlie Kirk. I mean, I was, 1 week ago, I thought I was supposed to hate Charlie Kirk. I didn't know who Charlie Kirk was, but based on what I saw, I was like, oh my God, everybody's losing their jobs and cheering on his death. He must have been a real terrible person, and anybody who likes him is a psychopath. And then when I took a look at it, I go, that doesn't seem bad. He's being fair and nice to that gay guy and calling that anti-gay guy a piece of shit. And what's the problem? This one is a little less black and white, pardon the pun. And I want to go over it. He is discussing, as Jay Quill is just getting in here, just tuned in, but did Maitland get in trouble yet? No, I don't know if she is going to get in trouble. There's not enough noise being made. And I don't want Maitland to get in trouble. I want Maitland right where she is. But I do like them squirming. By the way, I have a clip coming up of Freebeer getting in his feelings again and Hot Wings. Both, well, I can't say for sure. I'll let you be the judge, but Chris Mack in Vermont said, EZ, they're talking about you again here. I'll let you hear that. Patrick says, I hope she gets fired. Brandon says, the great thing, you can like him and I can dislike him and we can agree to disagree and move on with our friendship. But that isn't the case with everyone. It is sick, sad, and scary. Yeah, you're right, my darling. You are one of my favorite people on the planet here. You can tell by because I called you my darling. You are my darling. Every lady on this show is my darling. You are my darlings. I love you forever. Us girls have to stick together. I just love you so much. Even Amanda is a darling. There's Becca Shea, my darling Becca Shea. She loves me forever. She doesn't agree with any of my Charlie Kirk stuff, I'm guessing. But my audience is so brilliant. They don't hate anybody. They're just beautiful, beautiful people. Everybody, I have been hand-picking the audience. I just got a couple new audience members yesterday that sent me an email. Alan writes, a darling wildebeest. No, I am not going to call Amanda a darling wildebeest. I have referred to you as a wildebeest, but not at this moment. It's only when she makes me angry that I call her a wildebeest. Okay, this is the clip. They're talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, which I think was a fancy term for affirmative action. And the idea there that African-Americans would be moved to the front of the line and be given an opportunity at employment. And the idea was, I guess, I know it sounds terrible. It sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud. But the idea here is if black guy wants to get into a school or black girl wants to get into a school and has decent grades, would get into the school over the white or the Asian guy who has awesome grades, or the black guy or the black girl would get the job with some experience over the white guy or girl or the Asian guy or girl who has all of the experience. Now, when you say it like that, it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, can we all agree with that? Maybe we can, maybe we can't, and that's okay. But just like I said, Jimmy Kimmel getting fired over whatever is bullshit. I think that's bullshit too. I do. Now, Becca Shea, African-American husband, she makes a great point. Black people have to work twice as hard to get where any white man is. I think that's a systemic problem within workforces, though. And I think to actually get the jobs, though, you shouldn't have to prove your worth based on your race. I take it back. Everybody should have to prove the same worth regardless of the color of their skin. That's how I feel. And then once they get into the workplace, pay them accordingly. Pay women what you pay men. Pay African-American men and women what you pay white men. Everybody gets paid appropriately. And crack down on that shit. Pay attention. They should have to report those things. Businesses should have to report their examples of equality within the workforce. Brandis is here. She says, I absolutely get that, and I appreciate it. Many just won't agree that he has also said some bad shit, too. I mean, I didn't like him at all, but can agree some of his takes made sense. Not many, but the one Zane played yesterday was one of the few. This one's, I think, a little bit more complex. Let's watch it together.
Your neighbors are...
I know, I got to put my pop-up blocker on. Somebody sent me a good pop-up blocker, and I forget where it was. I kind of suck. There we go.
Michelle Obama, Reed, and Michelle Obama, and Sheila Jackson Lee, and Ketanji Brown Jackson were affirmative action picks, we would have been called the racist. But now they're coming out and they're saying it for us. They're coming out and they're saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously. You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously. Play cut 52.
Okay, now that sounds racist. He's snarky. That sounds horribly racist.
They're coming out and they're saying, I'm only here because of affirmative action. Yeah, we know. You do not have the brain processing power to otherwise be taken really seriously. You had to go steal a white person's slot to go be taken somewhat seriously. Play cut 52.
I think, though, she says everything you just heard him say. But it's coming out of her mouth. I kid you not. I was floored when I heard this because she does, in fact, say what he just said, but she doesn't sound like an asshole when she says it.
But I rise today as a clear recipient of affirmative.
This is Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat from Texas. I don't know these people prior to this clip.
Recipient of affirmative action, particularly in higher education. I may have been admitted on affirmative action, both in terms of being a woman and a woman of color, but I can declare that I did not graduate on affirmative action. This is my personal story.
Okay, so she says, I got into college because I was put ahead in line. And that's the point I was making earlier. So she didn't have the same grades to get in as people that were ahead of her, but they put her in because of it, because of the color of the skin, over whites and Asians who had better grades than her. So that's essentially confirming what he just said, but he's laughing all the way to the bank when he's saying it.
I hear because of action affirmative. She can't even say that. We know. It's very obvious to us that you were not smart enough to be able to get in on your own. I couldn't make it on my own, so I needed to take opportunities from someone more deserving. You know, this is how arrogant Joy Reid and Ketanji Brown Jackson and Michelle Obama and Sheila Jackson Lee are. They're so narcissistic, they think this is persuasive. They think we're like, oh, of course, that's why we need affirmative action, because you have impressed us with your brilliance. Of course. Oh, no. Imagine the world without Joy Reid. Imagine the world without Sheila Jackson Lee or Michelle Obama or Ketanji Brown Jackson. They think this is persuasive. They think as they kind of now reveal that I'm only here because of anti-white, anti-Asian forced discrimination policies that turned me into a bitter, resentful activist that hates white people, honestly, through our pop.
Petty Pete. So that's it. And I know that's a little bit different than what we talked about yesterday, but there's the Asian guy going, it's about time somebody stood up for us. God damn it, we're over here too. Rebecca says he's so derogatory in his tone and approach. Correct. And that is, he's supposed to. Don't ever forget, this is a content creator. It is your job. And if you don't do it, you're a fucking failure. Lean in. Don't back down. If that's what you believe in, you plant your flag in there and you don't apologize for it. That's 101. That's one of the most basic things ever. It's supposed to draw that out of you. Whatever your argument is, it could be that the moon is made out of blue buffalo shit. You don't do it subtly. Whatever it is. Impossible to be a success if you are weak in that, in this culture. So I understand that. As much as it's off-putting, and I totally understand that it is, that is not for everybody. The clips I played yesterday, those are a little more warm and fuzzy when he's communicating with a person who's directly on the other side. But what you have here is him, this is his belief system based on, well, what she admitted. She admitted that. That she got in because of the color of her skin. So that's him taking her words and saying, okay, she said this. But I think people too often over his career took the snark, the arrogance, as Rebecca says, the derogatory tone, and then kind of painted it as a racist. That's, I think, not a hard mistake to make, and I don't fault anybody for saying that, oh, that's a racist. That's a racist man right there. He is racist. I get it. I get it. And you'll not hear me chastising you about feeling that way. You won't, because sure as hell sounds racist. Sure as hell looks racist, but I don't think it's racist. Brandis says, I guess that is the gross part. He believes it. We have no option but think he believes it, and it's gross. Brandis says, he also added the, yeah, we know. Well, okay. Yes, that's all part of the mystique. He's trying to get people. Who he's speaking to is half the country. You know, he's not like me trying to keep everybody happy. He doesn't give a shit about that. Nobody in this occupation is as good as me at this. We all know that. Now, I have as many MAGA audience members as I do non-MAGA audience members. And right now, with 40 people watching, that is quite a slice of Americana right there. Becca Shea said, yeah, but she also said she had to have the grades to be. Well, yeah, she graduated non-affirmative action. But I guess what you have to think about, though, is you need to picture the face of the young white woman, the young Asian woman, and however many else behind her in line or with her in line who get leapfrogged to go to that school or get that job. What about the looks on their faces? How do you look them and to say, well, I know you work really hard, but fuck you. She worked kind of hard to get in, and she's going to get in over you. You know it as well as I do, deep down, that is not acceptable. There are many of reasons that equality should be constantly scrutinized. And there are it should happen without a doubt when it comes to the pay people make and the opportunities that they have once they get into the workforce. But moving people up in the line and saying, yeah, I know you all worked your ass off and you are good enough, but you're not good enough because your skin is white. How is that equality? That is, or brown, or I should say, or yellow. I guess it's yellow. Is that what we refer to Asians as? Yellow? I don't know. I'm probably going to get in trouble for that, but you get my point. How is that equal? That is not equal. That is racist. Without a doubt. Nick says, affirmative action is complete horseshit, but we should have higher education available for anyone that wants it. Right, but so what are you saying? Are you saying that affirmative action is complete horseshit, but it's good for higher education? Is that what you're saying? That doesn't strike me as something you would say. No offense. Bob says, do I have to be lumped in with the rest of the MAGA mingers? Oh, mingers. Yeah, you are, dude. Come on. You're so MAGA, it's incredible. I love MAGA. I love my MAGA audience members so much. That's because I love everybody. Everybody knows that. Rebecca says, then get rid of the systemic racism that does exist and woven so deeply in our society. You are correct, and that takes time. That takes decades and generations of people living, dying, and at some point raising kids, and hopefully they're not as fucked up as their forefathers and foremothers. That's what that takes. And that is a process. That is a process that will take a long, long time. If you think back, it's worked to some degree. If you think back to the horrific things that took place before the civil rights movement, and, you know, we're picture like the movie Mississippi Burning, like that type of culture. The people who believe that are not as prevalent today as they were then. It takes a long time. I think, though, while you wait for the generations to pass, you police workforces to make sure that people are treated fairly. And schools. IMKO is here. Says, I've personally been affected 3 times because of DEI in my career. As a straight white guy, I've seen 2 colleagues have their careers grenaded because of DEI. They were put in positions with no chance to succeed because they simply weren't ready for it. But one was black and the other was a woman. Good intentions, bad results. So the suggestion there is those people were put into careers that they didn't have the appropriate qualifications for, and then bad things happened under their leadership. So it didn't work out for them, as opposed to working your way up or whatnot. Rebecca's here. She says, for every person raising their kids to not be racist and to undo systemic racism, there is another person continuing on with how it currently is. People are uncomfortable with change. Well, yeah, and there's just some pieces of shit out there. There are plenty of people who are racist fucks, okay? But the point of all this is that person's not Charlie Kirk. All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.